Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we linger here, our hearts intentionally open to the reading of your word, and now the preaching of your word. We would experience the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives, in our congregation. Please do in us what we cannot do in ourselves and for ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just one last Sabbath together on this theme of biblical spirituality, the glorious face. We've been studying this passage of Scripture for a number of weeks now, looking at passages before and after, but this passage is, that says that for God has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and we have learned the importance of our body in biblical spirituality. We've learned how important our mind plays into the perspective. We've learned what spirituality is, the bottom line of spirituality. We've learned how the Bible plays a role in that, and how the person of Jesus Christ plays a role in that. Last Sabbath, we learned how the cross of Jesus Christ, a sense of a need of Savior, is a point of convergence in the whole experience of spirituality. And today, I just want to spend a few moments to kind of pull it together in a journey that can make a difference in our everyday lives. How do all these things fit together? Just briefly, I want us to ponder some of the spiritual disciplines or the specific things that we can do in order for us to grow spiritually. There is a saying, practice makes perfect. I have a beautiful, expensive cello in my bedroom, and it just sits there. I would love to play the cello, but I will never be able to play that cello until I actually get it out and start playing and practicing and taking lessons. High voltage spirituality. When you think of high voltage spirituality, what crosses your mind? Now, that's the title of a book. I saw this title in amongst some others, and I'll share some of those other titles with you right now. But how do we connect with God and experience His power in our lives? That's a question that I want to pose now as we try to pull all these pieces together. How do we connect with God in a way in which we can experience His power in our lives? Now, the author of this book, High Voltage Spirituality, suggests that there is a lack of spiritual power within Christian life, especially busy people. And so he's written this book for busy people. He has 8 spiritual disciplines that he outlines in order for us to experience a connection to what he refers to as the divine power grid. All right? He says we're too busy, and most of us don't know how to connect with spiritual things, and many of us mishandle our priorities, and whether you read a book like this or not, most of us at times sense that our prayers don't have a fervency or power, or we don't have what it takes to make important decisions in our lives or to meet some of the challenges and the temptations that come. And the fact of the matter is most of us, if not all of us, hunger for a deeper spiritual experience in some regard. So he comes out with a book called High Voltage Spirituality. High voltage implying that you've got more amperage, you've got more voltage, you've got more oomph to accomplish all the things that you need to do in your busy life. Now, that's an interesting title for a book, but so are some of these other titles here. Here's another one called Quantum Spirituality. Quantum. Now we've moved to the realm of physics. okay? And the measurable against the immeasurable, all right? And by the way, the author of that particular book speaks about spirituality that runs through as a thread through all the different forms of religion, Christian and non-Christian, and he blurs Christianity with these. But it's an interesting title, Quantum Spirituality. Whoa, man, we want high voltage. We want quantum. We want something big. But then there's a title of a book called Messy Spirituality. The fact of the matter is, life is messy. Challenges come and go. We don't always do everything best, and we do things on the fly. So there's messy spirituality and emotionally healthy spirituality. Now, this is a one that we often chastise ourselves on, and fundamentalist Christians that they browbeat one another and whatever. So not all forms of spirituality are emotionally healthy. And so if I want spirituality, I want to be emotionally healthy in what I do. Then you have simple spirituality, common sense spirituality, practical spirituality, down to earth spirituality. I don't want something that's only going to take me away to that region beyond, but I live a real life and there are real problems, real issues, real challenges that I face, and I need to be able to have a connection with God that makes a real difference in my everyday life. Right? So here's a book that speaks to those kinds of things, down to earth spirituality. And that's just a sampling of all different ideas and takes and perspectives of spirituality. The idea, however, is that we as human beings experience spirituality in a way that really makes a difference in our lives. This is what they're arguing for. This is what they're trying to communicate. And I want to take you through this passage that we've already read this morning. And I want to hold out to you the something that goes far beyond what could be equipped quantum spirituality or high voltage spirituality. I want us to get a glimpse of the kind of spirituality, the depth of spirituality that God envisions for you and for I. And it's packed in this one little verse of 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Beginning here at the beginning of the verse, it says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." Well, what happens? Where is it going to take us when this is happening? All right? So this is what the passage will tell us now. We are being transformed. All right? And that's an interesting Greek word, metamorphos, which means a radical change from one form or one nature to something that is completely different than what one is. And we think of metamorphosis in the setting of a caterpillar becoming a beautiful butterfly, and that's the word that is used. So you're talking about something that is a radical transformation, and that transformation is that we are changed into the same image. The same image is what? Well, we've already learned in this past, in our journey together, that Jesus is the image of God. He is the portrait of God. You see, when you see Jesus, you see God. Jesus says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 refers to Christ as the image of God. And so here's profound picture of radical spirituality, real spirituality, that we're not only transformed in who we really are fundamentally and radically, but that transformation brings us into a sharing in the character and the nature of Jesus Christ. And then it's from glory to glory, which implies that it's not just a once-for-all moment, and it's also from the Lord the Spirit. Let's just kind of capsule this together. Real spirituality, however you want to call it, high voltage, quantum, down to earth, practical, whatever it is, however we want to characterize it, the Bible focuses it for us in this one passage. That at bottom it has to do with radical transformation of who we are deep down inside in our inner private world. And how it comes out in our actions and our words and our thoughts and our values and our choices and what we do and our priorities in life. It's a radical transformation. And that radical transformation is focused in the person of Jesus Christ. That we become Christ-like. Christ is the one who is the exact representation of the nature of God, we read in Hebrews chapter 1. And over and over, Jesus is the one who mirrors the glory of God. And there is held out for us the incredible potential that we can be partakers of the divine nature, as we read from 2 Peter in our promise this morning. Partakers of the divine nature. On a lesser level than Christ, of course, but nevertheless, a partaker in the divine nature. And not only that, but this passage of Scripture says from glory to glory, which means it's progressive, it's enduring, it's intensifying. It goes from glory to glory. It's not just something that happens in an instant and then it's over, but it's something that gets better and better. As it says in Proverbs, that the way of the righteous, the path of the righteous is like a light that gets brighter and brighter and brighter until eternity. And as we heard prayer by one of our elders in our prayer this morning about beholding the glorious face of Jesus when He comes in the clouds of glory and seeing Him face to face there on the sea of glass after the 1,000 years. What a glorious event that will be. And that is where the path of the righteous, that is where the journey of spirituality ultimately leads. It's from glory to glory. It's intensifying. It's progressive. It does not end. And how many times I've had individuals afraid to engage Christianity, afraid to engage Jesus Christ because they are afraid that they will fizzle out, that somehow it will quit, somehow it will end, and what starts out good will end in a fizzle. But here is the promise that it won't. And not only is there the promise that it won't end, but there is the promise that it will happen because the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord Himself, will be active in our life. It will be Spirit empowered. Let's just look back again at the text. We are being transformed into the same image of Christ, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit, all right, transforming, Christ-like, intensifying, and spiritually, our spirit empowered. This is real spirituality. The question is, how does this happen? Whatever name you want to put on it, how does it happen? And so I invite you to look with me at the beginning of this one little verse. All right? The beginning. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Here at the beginning of the verse, we find the path to the end of the verse that speaks of radical transformation, Christ-likeness, partakers in the nature of Christ, and enduring, growing, expanding, and ultimately Spirit-led. How does this happen? And so I share with you this morning two simple habits of spirituality. Two simple habits. I could give you a whole long list, and there will be a few lists as we go through some of these things here today, but two basic habits of spirituality. One is open-faced before God. To be open-faced before God. Now, what is Paul talking about when he says, with unveiled face? And this is what this Scripture says. By the way, let me come back here. One is open-faced before God, and the second is seeking after God. One has to do with attitude and a frame of reference, and the other one has to do with active engagement. The Apostle Paul When he refers to being with unveiled face, we behold. What does it mean to be open-faced to God? You'll remember the story of the radiant face of Moses in Exodus chapter 34. The Bible tells us that Moses came down from the mount and his face was shining. It was shining with the glory of God because he had been in the presence of God. He had experienced God. He had heard God talk about his character of love and his willingness to forgive and his grace and his mercy and his long-suffering, his holiness and his purity. And he had been in the presence of God. And because he was in the presence of God, his radiance shone and everybody could tell that there was something different. And you know how the Bible goes on to relate the story, that when Moses came down, unaware that his face was shining. And often, we are unaware of the spiritual influence that we have. The impression that we leave with others when we have been growing spiritually. There is a saying that a rising tide in the harbor lifts all the ships in the harbor. And when you are growing spiritually, when you have connected with the divine, when you've connected with God, there will be something that will lift, that will be noticeable in you, that will touch the lives of others. So Moses comes down, his face is shining, and everybody's afraid of him, and they back off, and he says, "What's going on?" And somebody finally had the nerve to say, "Hey, look, you know, your face is shining, and we just can't take all that." And so he puts a veil on his face, and so they come around him, and nobody came up to Moses and say, "Wow, Moses, how did you experience that? How does this happen? I want to experience this. Please help me know how to have this experience with God that you've had." No, they stood back. They were afraid. They were not interested. They refused to engage God on the level that Moses was inviting them to. And in fact, the scriptures tell us that their hearts were closed. Their hearts were hardened. But Moses, when he'd come down, he'd cover his face so that people would not be intimidated. But Exodus 34 tells us that when Moses went back into the presence of God, he took that veil off. And so every time Moses went into the presence of God, he had an unveiled face. And Paul tells us here in this text, he says, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Whenever someone turns to the Lord, now we have been studying spirituality and we have learned that spirituality has to do with the connecting of the spirit of a human being with the spirit of God or the spirit of another human being or even the spirit of our world. And we as human beings choose to be intentionally open to what's going on in our own lives. And if we don't, then we become dysfunctional. And we choose to be intentionally open to the human beings, the other created persons, living beings around us. And we intentionally choose to be open to God. Spirituality at bottom has to do with our spirit being open to the Spirit of God. And God then communicating to us and for us and through us and in us. That's why the Apostle Paul will say in the book of Ephesians that you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because the fact of the matter is, as we have learned in this series, our mind is in rebellion against God. Our mind is independent. Our mind is so self-willed. Our mind has so many conditions to things. But open face before God means that we have opened ourselves completely to God. That is an attitude that we turn to the Lord. And when we turn to the Lord, we are turning to the Lord with all of our heart, who we are deep down inside. That's what it means to be open-faced. And that's why Ellen White will say in Steps to Christ, consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Open-faced before God means to consecrate yourself to God. Make this your very first work Let your prayer be, take me, O Lord, take me, take me. Go ahead and take me. I was reading Ezekiel this week, and Ezekiel says, the firm hand of the Lord was upon me. I said, oh Lord, I want to feel that firm hand on me. Take me. What is it that you're going to do with me? I don't know. But to be open, to have the veil removed means to be open, intentionally open to God. And Ellen White tells us, this is a daily matter. And she goes on to say, each morning consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to Him to be carried out and given up. This is hard for self-willed, independent human beings. All right? To surrender to Him thus day by day, you may be giving your life. All right? Being openly, intentionally open to God means that we give our life to God. We give our life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ. You give your life into the hands of God, and you will be transformed into the very nature, the same nature as Christ. Isn't that awesome? This is what Paul is talking about. And in Desire of Ages 668, I memorized this when I was a boy, and I would recite it over and over when I was challenged with certain things. But here we have this incredible thought. All true obedience comes from the heart. Okay, who we are deep down inside. Right? Our spirit, our values, our priorities, our feelings, our character, our thoughts, our desires. All true obedience comes from the heart, and it's heart work with Christ. And if we consent, this is how the veil gets removed. We turn to the Lord, we are consenting. And if we consent, He will so identify Himself with our thoughts and our aims, and He will so blend our hearts and our minds into conformity with His will, that when we do His will be but carrying out our own impulses. Isn't that amazing? But we have to consent. We have to yield. We have to open ourselves to God. And Ellen White will say in Christ Object Lessons 159, that there's a language of the soul. We can only consent for Christ to accomplish the work that He will do in us. Then the language of the soul will be. And I remember the first church I pastored after college. There was a retired man from Ireland. He had big bushy eyebrows and big ears, and he had an Irish brogue. And often when we prayed together, this is what he would pray. He says, Lord, take my heart, for I cannot give it. It is Thy property. Keep me pure, for I cannot keep it for Thee. Save me in spite of myself, my weak, unchristlike self. Mold me, fashion me, raise me into a pure and holy atmosphere where the rich current of Thy love can flow through my soul. I heard that over and over and over. This happens. This is the language of the soul. This yielding of ourselves. And as Ellen White will go on to say in the same section of Christ Object Lessons, that there needs to be a continual reaching out of the heart after God. A continual, earnest, heartbreaking confession of sin and humbling of the soul before Him. Only by constant renunciation of self and dependence on Christ can we walk safely. And we learned last Sabbath how the cross of Jesus Christ is the center point of spirituality for a Christian, and in particular an Adventist Christian. It's interesting to me that not even all Adventist Christians would place the cross as an important place in spirituality. That's a fact. At the cross we stand in wonder, weakness, and want, and at the cross we are compelled to choose our spirituality. And that spirituality at bottom is either to admit that we are sinful, that we are lost, that we are weak, and that we are in great need, we're alienated against God, is to admit that and to accept that and to reach out for a Savior, to intentionally open ourselves to God who would redeem us. We either choose that kind of spirituality or we close our mind to that kind of spirituality saying, no, I can do it on my own some way. And I don't need the cross of Jesus Christ. But the cross of Jesus Christ, this kind of spirituality that we've touched on, demands repentance, confession, surrender, and leads to conversion of the life. But I can tell you, you will never experience high voltage spirituality, quantum spirituality, whatever it is that you imagine of a deeper, genuine, real spirituality. You will never experience it if you don't yield to Jesus. If you do not turn to the Lord on this fundamental level. And then there's the second, and that is seeking after the Lord. And that is beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And Paul goes on to say, see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. And then he goes on to write, shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory. Different ways. So there's the beholding, there is the seeing, and there's knowledge that surrounds that, and that all revolves around the face of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that when you have seen me, you've seen the Father, and I am the glory of the Father, and that revolves around the cross and my character, and I show you wonderful things about the Father. But seeking after God has some specific practical dimensions to it. And we find here in this list here, this kind of capsules, things that we've looked at over the last few weeks. But there is the beholding of Christ, the centrality of Christ in our journey. There is the searching of Scripture, spending time and saturating our mind with Scripture. There's communing in prayer with God, talking to God as to a friend in prayer. Focusing our thoughts, our mind plays an integral, important role in spirituality. Then there's the presenting of our bodies, you know, what we do, what we wear, what we eat. We just cannot escape our bodies when it comes to spirituality. You'll remember we looked at this passage here, John 6:63. The words that I speak are spirit and life. Jesus says, my words, they have a spiritual dimension to them. They have a life-giving dimension. You feed on my word and you will come to life in powerful ways. We've learned that if we search the Scriptures, they are the voice of God speaking to our soul. And so if we intentionally open ourselves to God on the fundamental level that we are, that we have, then we seek Him. We actively seek Him by focusing on Jesus and study of the Scriptures. We will find Him speaking to our own soul. And it will become a reality to us where we are in a interpersonal relationship with Christ and God, and we're communicating with Him in a powerful way. And that also includes prayer. Ellen White tells us that prayer is the breath of the soul. It is the secret of spiritual power. No other means of grace can be substituted. And it is prayer that brings the heart into immediate contact with God. I remember the young man, the story of the young man who came to Socrates and said, I want wisdom. And Socrates says, well, good. Well, how much wisdom do you want? I want all the wisdom I can get. How bad do you want that wisdom? I want that wisdom as bad as I can get it. And so Socrates said, come with me. So they go down to the to the beach, and they wade out into the water, and he looked at this young guy and said again, "Now, what is it that you want?" "I want wisdom." And so Socrates grabs him and plunges him under the water and holds him under the water and then brings him back up, and the guy gasps for air and he says, "What is it that you wanted?" And he says, "I want wisdom." And he buries him again in the water and holds him down longer, brings him back up, and he says, "What is it that you wanted?" "I want wisdom." And he buried him again and held him down until the guy was almost dead, brought him back up, and he gasped, "What is it that you want?" "I want air." Well, when you want wisdom, the same way, the same urgency that you want breath, you will find it. And if we really want to breathe spiritually, it will show. In the spiritual discipline of prayer, where we are communing with God, prayer is the opening of the heart. See, it all comes back to in that intentional openness. Not only do we fundamentally say, "I want to approach God and I will approach Him totally open. I will not hold back anything about myself, but I want to build relationship with Him." And He will come across that bridge in powerful ways through His Holy Spirit and through His Word. You'll remember we talked about how we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, and how important the mind plays, the importance that the mind plays, and how Paul would say in Romans 8 that we need to set our minds on the things of the Spirit rather than on the things of the flesh. And so what we read, what we allow our minds to dwell on, what we see, what we allow our eyes to see and our ears to hear, and where we take our bodies, the atmosphere, the environment around us, it has an incredible important role in playing with regard to our spirituality. "Whatsoever things are true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely," Paul tells us, "think on these things, because our thinking, as we've learned, I think, therefore I am spiritually." And so part of the seeking after this God means that we lay aside other things that would erode or fight against or distract against our building a mind that is full of the truth of God. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, he says, "I'm always caring about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body." This is how he goes on to apply what it means to see the face of Jesus. Now we're caring about in our bodies, okay? Something about Jesus. And the life of Jesus is lived out in our bodies. That's why Paul will say elsewhere, "Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship." Offering our bodies. "Lord Jesus, what do I do with my body? How do I use my mouth? What do I put in my body? What do I put on my body? What do I do? What are the actions, the behaviors of my life?" These are all things that come under the purview of focusing our thoughts on what it means to seek after God. Two habits of spirituality. One is open-faced before God, and that speaks about our attitude. And the other one is seeking after God, and that speaks about the disciplines of our lives. Whether or not we have any disciplines, spiritual disciplines, that happen with regularity. I've started memorizing the book of Hebrews again. I'm up through chapter 3, working on chapter 4 now. It's a discipline. It takes work. I have to focus my mind in the morning, at night. I have to get the scriptures out, and I have to organize them in ways that are easy for me to get my mind around. It's a discipline. Now, when I I canceled all the subscriptions to Time Magazine and Newsweek and other magazines that I had coming to the house. Now there lays an open Bible there on my table. And when I sit down to eat breakfast, when I sit down to eat lunch, whenever I'm eating by myself, it's amazing how many chapters of the Bible one can read and one can absorb even while they are eating. That may not be your way of doing things. Joining the fast class or some other way of disciplining your mind and your heart, it does not matter. The bottom line, though, is that you do have some kind of regimen, some kind of spiritual habits that can feed your soul and express your journey, your seeking, your pursuit of God. And Ellen White tells us, an intensity such as never before was seen in taking possession of the world, in amusement, in money-making, in the contest of power, in the very struggle for existence. There is a terrible force that engrosses the body and the mind and the soul. And we feel that all the time. And as our world is moving more and more towards the end, and you give all the things that are taking place in our world right now, our minds and our bodies and our souls are being engrossed with these kinds of things. And in the midst of this maddening rush, God is speaking. He bids us come apart in communion with Him. Be still, He says, and know that I am God. And then, this is profound, Education 260. Many, even in their seasons of devotion, fail of receiving the blessings of real communion with God. They are in too great a haste. With hurried steps, they press through the circle of Christ's loving presence, pausing perhaps for a moment and then dashing off to whatever it is that is pressing them in life. And I read those words and I say, oh God, how many times have I paused for a moment in the sacred presence of Your Son or Your Word? Please help me. But it demands a choice. It demands focus. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. The Apostle Paul goes on to write, we look not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. How is it that we are renewed day by day? We are renewed day by day because we choose to fix our gaze on things that are eternal. And God will reward that choice. And you will experience incredible power in your life that you've never imagined could be from the Spirit, from the Lord Himself. The beginning of this year, we're going to start 10 days of prayer. I invite you to connect with those 10 days of prayer. Let that be part of building spiritual disciplines for the coming year. You go out to the Connecting Quarter, you'll find some material that you can sign up for and get free, and some that you can take that has to do with the role of Scripture, how to study the Bible through in a year, how to study the Spirit of Prophecy and the Bible together through the year, the life of Christ, the great controversy. It does not matter to me how you do it, but only that you do it. And that your whole self, your body, and your spirit will be involved in a full disclosure before God and a passionate pursuit of God. For God has shown in our hearts to give the glory of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He wants you to see His glorious face so that your face, like Moses's, will shine. And as the psalmist says, when you said to me, "Seek my face," I said, "Oh Lord, your face I will seek." May that be your prayer. May that be your response. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Do not put the veil on. Do not close yourself, but open yourself to this God who will take you on a radical journey of spiritual growth. As we sing our closing hymn together, "Thou didst leave thy throne," may we catch a glimpse of how open Jesus has been to us, how open God has been to us, and the invitation for us to be open back to Him. And if you would make a decision to be open to Jesus today, I invite you to make that decision. I have some cards here at the front that I'm going to have some deacons stand here, and you can pick up when you leave. You can come up and get for you to just write your response, a decision for Jesus in terms of being open and being disciplined and seeking His face in the coming year.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.